Yeah. I'm digging this new intro. I like it. It's fresh. All right, welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 10. That's right. It's brought by the Fantasy Fix. As usual, I'm your host, Chris Ramirez. Thank you for joining me today. Hope your NHL playoff bracket is still intact. Mine is not. Mine is absolutely shot. It's not even close. I'm embarrassed to show it to people. Absolutely, completely embarrassed. Not even close. One team out of the Western Conference, and I have two out of the Eastern Conference, I think. Is that correct? Yeah, I got two out of the Eastern. No, not even one out of the Eastern. One out of the Eastern Conference. I have Washington coming out of the Eastern Conference. And then I went with Detroit, Florida, and the Rangers. None of which those teams advanced, of course. And on the other side, I have just Dallas. Yeah. Hey, it's pretty bad. Yeah. We're going to talk about the first round today in this episode of the podcast. We're going to cover the entire first round. We're going to cover everything that went wrong or right, depending if your bracket is still intact, everything went right maybe. Maybe you're 6 out of 8. Maybe you just know what you're talking about. Maybe I should follow your advice more often. It was a very interesting first round. I guess a lot of surprises. Maybe, maybe not. Again, depending on how you think of it. Let's start with it. Before we start that, make sure to follow this podcast. You can follow it on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at FuzzyChris91. The podcast is always, you can always find it on iTunes. So subscribe, rate the podcast there. Tell me how much you love it. Tell me how much you love this intro, this new intro. I'm just going to play it if you keep telling me that you want to hear it. If not, I'll go back to the other one. But just subscribe, rate it. You can follow it on Podbean as well. And as always, it's on The Fantasy Fix, www.thefantasyfix.com, or at The Fantasy Fix. Boom. Let's go straight to the Eastern Conference, okay? I'm going to start with Florida and the New York Islanders. This was a really great series. It was great. I had Florida advancing. That did not happen. Basically, John Tavares just took over and said, I'm going to help my team get to the next round. Tavares had 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points, 30 shots on goals. 30 shots on goals, my God. 30 shots on goal. Kyle Okposo, 1 goal, 5 assists, 28 shots. It was the John Tavares, Kyle Okposo show. Not much after that. Not much. Very, very little. Thomas Greiss was okay. Thomas Greiss did what he needed to do. And hey, that's how they got past it. I thought Florida was going to get by based on goaltending, right? Based on experience, based on the fact that the Islanders had no depth or very, very little of it, that I thought, hey, this maybe they could contribute in the playoffs. But no, it was apparently enough. It was enough to get them to the next round against the Lightning. By now, we all know what happened in that first game. So, yeah. Maybe the Islanders have a chance this year. Do they? Do they? I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see. Let's go straight to this. Which was the next one? Which one do I want to talk about? Here's where it went wrong for Florida. I need to cover this because I'm looking at this now and I'm... You know it's a bad thing when Riley Smith is leading your team in points, right? He had 4 goals, 4 assists in that first round. Barkov, Huberto, Jágr, 3 goals, 5 assists combined. That's not good. Disappointing. But I still think Florida has a bright future. They will be back in the playoffs next season. They just gotta do things better. Pittsburgh and the New York Rangers. Man, I thought the Rangers would get by. Clearly, I'm wrong. This was a funny series because, so the Rangers have a hard time scoring goals. We know that. They are not a great team defensively. But usually Henrik Lundqvist can do enough to save your team, in which case that was none. No. The Penguins average 4.2 goals per game. Okay, that is the highest of any team in the first round. Okay, league average was about 2.5, close? Yeah, 4.2. Why? Real simple. Sidney Crosby. 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points. Hey, Evgeny Malkin, remember Gino? 2 goals, 5 assists. Phil Kessel, 3 goals, 3 assists. They filled the net. They filled the net, which is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I wanted King Henrik to advance, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And here's why it didn't happen. I'll tell you why. Outside, Rick Nash was, I mean, he was basic. 2 goals, 2 assists. Right? Derek Brassard, 1 goal, 3 assists. Those are not terrible. They're not terrible, but that was it. That was it. There was not much after that. Eric Staal, this is man, I could not believe it when I read this stat because I was like, man, you paid some pretty good picks and a player to be able to get him to help you. And he finished with 0 points, 7 shots on goal, and he was a -7 in that first round. Wow. That is atrocious. That is, man, it's rare when you're saying, hey, if you would have asked me this question at the beginning of the series, you said, hey, which Staal would be worse in the first round, Eric or Mark? I would have bet my life savings on Mark Staal. I mean, let's face it, not very good. Plays with Dan Girardi right there. No, Eric Staal was the worst Staal brother on that team, which is amazing. I can't believe it. Let's give some credit, though, to the Penguins goaltending, right? Matt Murray. Matt Murray had never played a playoff game before that first round. He goes 3-0, 133 goals against average, and a .955 save percentage. Not bad, man. That's decent. That is decent. That is really good. The reason I thought the Rangers would get by was because of goaltending. I said, hey, you have one of the best goalies in the NHL, Henrik Lundqvist. The Pittsburgh Penguins have no Marc-Andre Fleury. You're not sure if he's going to come back in that round. You got inexperience in the back end. Pittsburgh doesn't have a great defense core. But the Rangers couldn't find a solution. They could not find a way to score a goal. Amazing. I mean, I don't think the Rangers overhaul that roster, sadly. But there are definitely changes that need to be made. And, I mean, if Pittsburgh continues like this, they'll be good. They had a 38% power play in that first round. I mean, they were... Offense is good. It is good. But that offense led the Penguins to the next round. Good for them. Washington, Philadelphia. Baby. This was a good one. This was a really good one. I don't think anybody is shocked that Washington won this series. I think some people are shocked that it went to 6 games. Everybody talks about how good that Washington offense is, and they are really, really good, okay? Really, really good. Here's the thing, though. They got by based on their defense. Because Holtby had a 0.84 goals against average, a .968 save percentage, and 2 shutouts. Okay, sure. I mean, look, the Flyers don't have a great offense. And Holtby is, you know, he's going to win a Vezina this year. But those are ridiculously good numbers, man, for a goalie. Ridiculously good. In comparison to Steve Mason now, who played the first 3 games, had a 4.09 goals against average and an .852 save percentage. And you're like, whoa. That's not good. For an already not good team like the Flyers, they were not bailed out by their goaltender enough. And the list goes on of things that went wrong. Giroux had an assist in 6 games. Voracek had 1 goal. Simmons and Shen, 2 assists each. Your best players for the Philadelphia Flyers were not your best players. they couldn't do anything. I'm not shocked. I thought maybe they would, you know, make this a competitive series. But it wasn't. If it wasn't for Michael Neuwirth, who single-handedly stole Game 5, it would have been done by then. Neuwirth in two games. 0.67 goals against average, 981 save percentage. I mean, look, two games, sure. But he stood on his head for those two games. He's still on his head. Even in game six, look, he wasn't bad in game six. He wasn't bad. He was good. He was good. He did exactly what he needed to do. He gave his team a chance to win the game. And that's all you can ask from your goaltender. That's all. There's nothing else you can ask. Your goalie needs to sometimes bail you out. And Neuwirth did. I mean, he couldn't do it that long. You knew at one point Washington was going to find a way to score. Or they were going to find a way to win this. And they did. They did. They were a good team. Nicholas Backstrom, 2 goals, 5 assists. Alex Ovechkin, 3 goals, 2 assists. Here's an interesting. John Carlson, 3 goals, 3 assists, 24 minutes a game. That is beast mode right there. That is really, really good. As a whole, the Capitals were a better team defensively than the Philadelphia Flyers. And that's what won them that series. It's going to be interesting now to see Pittsburgh against Washington. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be a series and a half. Ovi and Crosby, I can't wait. But that series is going to come down to that Pittsburgh offense against that Washington defense. And defense wins championships. I'm not going to tell you who I think wins that series, because you can read about it over at the Fantasy Fix. So I'll let you do that. But defense wins championships. I'm leaving you with that. Next, Tampa Bay versus Detroit. I wanted Detroit to win. I thought they could. I thought they had the experience to get it done, but they were just not good. That's it. Detroit is not getting better. They're getting older, and they're getting worse. For starters, Jimmy Howard should have not started those first two games. I'm sorry. I know he got you there. That was the argument, right? He was really good at down the stretch when Peter Mrazek was not. However, who was the starting goalie at the beginning of the year for the Detroit Red Wings? Pretty sure it was Jimmy Howard. Who lost his job, essentially, to Peter Mrazek? Jimmy Howard did. So, Mrazek got you to March. And then Jimmy Howard tried to close the deal. And he did. But Mrazek should have started. He was a better goalie. No doubt about it. Better goalie. He didn't. Fine. That's not why they lost. Right? That's not. Tampa Bay had the second best goals against per game. Behind, of course, the Washington Capitals. 1.6. Really good. They had the best penalty kill of any team in the first round. 96%. And if you watch that first round, it was loaded. Loaded with penalties. So having a really, really good penalty kill helps. Because your opposing team can't take advantage. They can't take advantage. Ben Bishop was great. 4-1, 1.61 goals against average, 950 save percentage. He was good. He did his job. He maybe, at you know, did he steal one outright? No. But when he needed to be the best player on that team, he was. He was. No question about it. Nikita Kucherov, 5 goals, 3 assists. Great. Tyler Johnson. Here was the X factor. For me, the X factor at the beginning of the series, I was like, if Tyler Johnson is healthy and he plays the way he's supposed to, Tampa Lightning should be okay. He was. 2 goals, 5 assists. He was the difference. He helped out. My boy Jonathan Drouin. No goals, 4 assists. That's cool. He was good. He was really, really good. He was good in game four. Game four was an important one. He had 3 points in that game. Sure, yes. He finished a minus three in the series. Okay. Is he still a liability defensively? I hate talking about Drouin defensively because I don't think that's his job. He needs to be responsible in his own zone. Yes. But he single-handedly helped Tampa Bay win that game. Game four. I'll live with the defensive blunders that he will make. I will live with them. John Cooper probably won't, but I will live with them. Because I think the upside offensively is good enough for me. I'll take it. Here's the real reason why Detroit didn't get by. Because they couldn't score a goal. Their best players couldn't score a goal. Zetterberg had one goal in the series. Okay. Thomas Tatar led the team in points, and he had three assists. Pavel Datsyuk, the Magic Man, right? He may retire. We may have seen him for the last time in the NHL. He had no points. None. Zero. Zero. Two players on the Detroit Red Wings had 0 points. Datsyuk and Alexei Marchenko. Marchenko? Yeah, I think it's that. Did I say it right? I butchered his name. It's fine. The only two players with 0 points in that series. Wow. Your best players couldn't get it done. Tampa Bay's best players got it done. This is despite not having Stralman, despite not having Stamkos. Their best players, Kucherov, Johnson, got it done. Hey, that's all you need. That's all you need in the playoffs is your best players to be your best players. And you'll do fine. Philadelphia didn't have their best players be their best. Detroit didn't have their best players be their best. Both teams are eliminated. Philadelphia, not shocking. Detroit, hey. This is a team that pushed Tampa Bay to 7 games. Last year, when they played Tampa Bay. 7 games. And this year, not even close. Not even close. Detroit, not even close. I'm disappointed. Disappointed. 2 years in a row, I picked Detroit to beat Tampa Bay. 2 years in a row doesn't happen. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how Tampa Bay does in the next round. But, hey, maybe they're legit. Maybe they're legit. I don't know. Let's swing over to the Western Conference. And this one, I butchered everything except the Dallas and Minnesota series. This one was not a hard one to predict. I don't know what I was thinking when I was filling out my bracket, but I had Dallas in six, and that's the only series that I got the team winning right and the number of games right. The only series. I had Washington in five. That didn't happen. Dallas is a good team, okay? I knew they would get by Minnesota because Minnesota didn't have Zach Parise, who is arguably their best player. Thomas Vanek isn't there, which, I mean, does he make a difference? Probably not. But he's a player who can do something. So not having two, right, your best player and a top six forward, even though they play him sometimes in bottom six, not having them there is not good. Sure, Dallas doesn't have Tyler Seguin. Guess what? Didn't make a difference. Why? Jamie Benn, 4 goals, 6 assists. Led all players in the first round of points. Jason Spezza, 4 goals, 5 assists. They combined for 19 points. 19 points. The Minnesota Wild had no answer to Jamie Benn and Jason Spezza. None. I mean, I don't blame them, right? Ryan Suter can't stop them by himself. But they still made it a six-game series. And here's why they made it a six-game series. One, Dallas doesn't have much depth up front. That was it. Outside of Ben and Spezza, there's not much left. Okay? Eames Two goals, three assists. He's your next point getter. Eaves. Patrick Eaves. Yeah, yeah, that Eaves. There's not much after that. They had enough to get past the first round. We won't talk about the second round. But they had enough to get past the first round, which is okay with me. For some reason, Kari Lehtinen is the apparently starting goalie for Dallas. He was 3-1, 227 goals against average, 9.11 save percentage. Sure, basic stats. All right. 227 goals against average, that's not bad. That's not. It's on par with some of the other goalies. But a 9.11 save percentage is really, really, really not good for playoffs. Okay? Not good. It's average, but it's not good. Needs to be better. Much better. Is it going to get better? It's Kari Lehtinen. Let's not joke about it, okay? Antti Niemi, not any better. 1-1. 870 save percentage, 336 goals against average. Sure, he played one game. It was on the road. Ended up losing. It's going to happen. Fine. But the goaltending situation in Dallas is not figured out. This scares me for the next round. If I'm a Dallas Stars fan, I'm not jumping with joy yet. Tyler Seguin may be back. Sure. Is he going to play goal for Dallas? No. Is Dallas all of a sudden going to be a better defensive team? No. They got there. They got there on pure skill. But they're going to need whichever goalie they decide to go with to be much better in the next round. Hey, it worked in the first round. Why? Because Jason Pominville was your highest scorer. Yeah. 4 goals, 3 assists. Jason Pominville is your best player, technically, on paper. Nino Niederreiter, 1 goal, 5 assists. He's the next. Jared Spurgeon wasn't bad. 2 goals, 3 assists. He played 26 minutes on average. Again, no Parise. This team was missing their best player. And yet they still managed to score 2.83 goals for per game. Sure. If the Minnesota Wild have Zach Parise in the lineup, maybe this isn't the same game. Maybe this series goes even longer. Maybe Minnesota actually makes it a competitive series. They were not very good in their first two games. In Dallas, not good. Dallas on the road, meh. Right? Dallas on the road. But at home, they made it something. Devan Dubnyk didn't do much, right? 877 save percentage, 334 goals against average. I mean, it's expected. When you're being peppered with shots, you're going to give up goals. It's normal. It's normal. Nobody, like I said, nobody expected Minnesota to get out of that first round, unless you're a Minnesota Wild fan. And even then, if you have some hockey knowledge, you would have been like, no, no chance here. So, am I shocked with this series? Absolutely not. But I'm not exactly confident in Dallas moving forward. Next. Let's see. Ah, yes. The LA Kings and the San Jose Sharks. This was a beautiful series because I had LA because you're saying, hey, they've won Stanley Cups. They know how to get this done. The Sharks are perennial letdowns. They let you down every year come April. Every single year. The Sharks are the worst team to try and track. If you play DFS hockey during the year, picking the Sharks is a coin toss every time. Because sometimes they have a great matchup and you say, hey, they're gonna blow the other team apart, and then they lose 3-1 or something. And on nights where they have a difficult matchup, you're like, no, this isn't going to end well for them. Boom, they win 4-0. Same thing in the playoffs. The LA Kings are they're a good defensive team. They're really good. Jonathan Quick is maybe average as a goalie, but he plays on a really good team with really good defensemen. And he wasn't very good. LA as a team, they were terrible. The Sharks were the better team on the ice every night. And it showed. It showed. They were better. Game five. Sharks are up 3-0. Okay. LA makes it a game. They tie it. They come all the way back, tie it 3-3. San Jose takes a lead, 4-3. And then Jonathan Quick gives up a softie to Joe Pavelski, and it's 5-3. And that's the end of it. That is the end. 304 goals against average, 886 save percentage. That's not very good. It's not very good, Jonathan Quick. Not good. But he's, look, is he the only one to blame on this team? No. No. Everybody else was terrible. Drew Doughty. Nothing. No goals, one assist, minus five. This is, I know plus minuses don't mean a lot, right? It's a dumb stat sometimes. Minus five for Drew Doughty, unacceptable. Carter, Toffoli, they combined for 3 points. Two goals, one assist. And they were a combined minus 10. Oh my God. Outside of Anze Kopitar, who had two goals, two assists, the rest of that team was invisible. Invisible. Jake Muzzin was all right. Goal, four assists. He was there. But your key players were not there. They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. Carter had a great season again. Toffoli had a, I mean, he was good again. He was good. And then these guys were a no-show. A no-show. For the Sharks, however, different story. Guess what? Brent Burns, two goals, six assists. Joe Pavelski, five goals, one assist. Like I said, that key 5-3 goal changed everything. Logan Couture, a goal, five assists. Joe Thornton didn't do much, a goal, two assists. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They have so many weapons on that team. And most of them showed up. Burns had the most points in that first round. He's a defenseman. But he was the best. Drew Doughty was the worst defenseman on his team. Brent Burns was the best defenseman on his team. Works out well. Martin Jones was good. He was all right. He's 4-1. 218 goals against average. 912 save percentage. Again, not great for a goalie. Not great. The goals against average is good. Save percentage is all right. He's got about the same save percentage as Kari Lehtinen. That's not going to work. I think Martin Jones can step his game up, though. I think he's a good goalie. And it must be sweet beating the LA Kings, man. Whew. If you're Martin Jones, you're really happy. If you're the San Jose Sharks, you're happy. Because I did not think they would get out of that one. I did not. And the key to all this, was San Jose winning Game 1 and Game 2 in LA. They win another one at home, right? The LA Kings win Game 3, if I'm not mistaken, at home. And they keep going. No, I'm sorry. LA wins Game 3. Or was it Game 4? I don't remember. Anyways, it doesn't matter. All I know in this is that Martin Jones played well enough to win this series. And the San Jose Sharks are a legitimate threat in the playoffs. You beat the LA Kings. That is not a small task. This is a really good team. And they showed up. Well done. Will Joe Thornton show up? Probably not. But the rest of that team showed up. Your best players did what they needed to do. Good for them. St. Louis and Chicago. Man, this was a wonderful series. It was full of everything, including Andrew Shaw. I had Chicago, which I don't think shocks anybody. But I really thought they would win Game 7. I really did. Teams with experience, right? Especially when you've won a cup, what, three times in the last, I don't know, 6-7 years? When you win on a regular basis, I mean, you know what you're doing. And St. Louis hasn't always had it easy, right? They've had to go through teams like that, like Chicago. And, I mean, St. Louis did enough to get them past. Corey Crawford wasn't as good as he could have been. Okay, 255 goals against average, 907 save percentage. It's weak. It's weak. Okay. Chicago was still good enough to win this series, though. Panarin, 2 goals, 5 assists. He was good. Patrick Kane, 1 goal, 6 assists. Sure, he had 1 goal, right? He completely dominated the league during the year. He had 1 goal. But that 1 goal, overtime winner. So I'll cut him some slack. He took 25 shots on goal. He only scored 1, though. Not good. But it was an overtime winner. And those goals are worth a whole lot of everything, okay? Andrew Shaw, despite missing a game, 4 goals, 2 assists. Jonathan Toews, 0 goals, 6 assists. Doesn't matter. He was productive. Duncan Keith, 3 goals, 2 assists, +3. The Chicago Blackhawks were good. They just couldn't find a way to win 4 games first. Why? Well, it's really simple. They couldn't shut down St. Louis's top line. Jaden Schwartz, 3 goals, 4 assists. Led the team, by the way. Tarasenko, 4 goals, 2 assists. Pietrangelo, 1 goal, 5 assists. Second on the team in points. 30 minutes of ice time per game. Yes, one of them went into overtime. Double OT, if I remember correctly. But still, that's a lot of minutes for Alex Pietrangelo. But combine Schwartz, Tarasenko, and Laterra, right? St. Louis is the best line. 8 goals, 9 assists. They did the damage. They did the damage. Chicago had no answer for this top line, which is a little surprising because Jonathan Toews is really good at shutting down opposing lines. Didn't happen. Tarasenko played 17 minutes on average per game. Not great. Everybody knows about it. If you don't, you haven't seen it. I think it's at the end of game six after 2 periods, maybe. I think it's then. He's not on the power play, doesn't see the ice. Ken Hitchcock says something to him, and he basically just, like, he's like flipping him off, basically. Like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. No. Like, F you. I don't need this. He should have been on the ice. 17 minutes is not much. I think he could possibly go 19, 20. He's your best player, man. Play him. It'll be interesting to see in the next round how much Tarasenko plays. But that top line is going to be good. They're going to be good. They're going to be dominant. And that's a key. Ironically, though, and here's why. I mean, man, I'm reading this. I have a paper in front of me with all these stats I wrote down. Because of things I got to remember to say this. And sometimes I just find a few because there's so many numbers on this paper. St. Louis scored 2.71 goals per game, okay, in that first round against Chicago. They gave up 2.86, though. They gave up more goals per game than they scored, yet somehow they're in the next round. It's pretty good. Brian Elliott, he was all right. 2.4 goals against the average. That's elevated. But a 929 save percentage. He faced a lot of rubber. A lot. If St. Louis can tighten up a little bit, and I think they're going to need to. If St. Louis can limit those shots, they should be fine. I think they should be fine. Again, St. Louis found a way to get it done. And that's what matters in the playoffs. Chicago, I mean, they could be in the second round. They could. I don't think anybody would argue with you in saying both these teams could be in the second round. Because they were really good. They had some, you know, weaknesses in their lineup. But both these teams could have been there easily. Easily. If you would have told me, okay, If you would have told me at the beginning of the year, you say, hey, Chicago and LA will be out of the playoffs in the first round. And so the Anaheim Ducks. That's right. Anaheim against Nashville. The Ducks blew it. They had a chance. They blew it. It was amazing. I watched that game. I watched about the first period-ish. They're down 2-0, and I say, my God, not again. They had a terrible track record. Okay. Of Bruce Boudreaux. I think Boudreaux was 1-7 or something in game sevens. That's not good. But I don't think it comes down to that game specifically. Okay. Anaheim had a terrible beginning of the year. They played catch-up hockey basically from October till yesterday. Or actually, well, the day before when you guys listen to this. They played catch-up hockey. And the same thing in the series. They lost both games at home. Both. How? How do you do that? And then they respond. They come back and they win 3. And they're up 3-2 in the series. For the first time, you could look at Anaheim and say, hey, you're ahead. You're ahead. They got ahead at the end of the season, sure. But they, I mean, this team turned it on, turned the Jets on around Christmas. They got really good. Okay? John Gibson, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure he should have just started every game for Anaheim. Frederik Andersen wasn't bad. I'm not saying he was bad. He did his job. He was good. But I don't think John Gibson was the problem. And we all know Bruce Boudreaux has a really hard time committing to his goaltender. Really hard time. But when it came time for the best players to be the best players, they were not. Pekka Rinne was terrible. Game 1-5. He was really bad. Okay. And then in game 6 and game 7, especially game 7, he played like the Pekka Rinne that most of us know. Because Anaheim had no life in the first period. None. Nashville comes out. They do their job. Okay? They score goals. That's it. 15 minutes in of game 7, you're up 2-0. Perfect. Nashville had 10 shots in that first period, by the way. They had 10 shots in 2 periods after that. Okay? They were outshot 28-10. After the first period. And Nashville still found a way to win. This was Pekka Rinne's game. This was his game. He earned it. No matter how bad he was. All series. And he was not very good. He was not. Even in game 6. He played well in game 6. Okay. I'll give him that. He played well. But it's not because of him that they won. It's not because of him. Again, game 6, Nashville. 17 minutes into the first period. They're up 2-0. Kessler scored. Okay, in that game. Kessler scored in game 6 and game 7, by the way. Okay. He did his job. Ryan Kessler did his job. He has to play against the best line every night, right? So he basically had to go up against Philip Forsberg, James Neal, and Ryan Johansson every night, or try. And he still found ways to score goals. He did. Where was Ryan Getzlaff? Non-existent. He was quiet. He was very quiet. He didn't do much. Corey Perry, same thing. Not very much. That's a letdown. Your best players needed to be your best players. They were not. Freddie Anderson didn't lose that game seven. He didn't. He was all right. He was decent. He does the job. He stopped 18 of 20 shots. Look, not great. Pekarina stopped 36 of 37. For a goalie who struggled so much from game one to five, he took his game to another level in game six and game seven. And now the Nashville Predators are heading to the second round. Good for them. I didn't think they would get by. Here's how I know, because I picked the Anaheim Ducks to win the Stanley Cup. Boom. Bracket buster right there. Everything else doesn't matter now. I thought the Ducks would get by Nashville in five games. Just because of how hot Anaheim was, and just because how poorly Pekarina had played all year. Sure, is poorly a bad word? No. He was not as good as he should have been. He can be a very elite goalie. He was not. He was average this year. He was not very good on the road either. They went through a phase where they won 12, 13 games in a row. And they got better on the road. But Nashville in general, they were not a good team on the road. They were a better team at home. So that's why it completely shocked me when Nashville goes into Anaheim and wins two games on the road. I was concerned of all the teams in the first round that were down 0-2. That I was like, oh man. I had a better feeling that LA would come back from their deficit than Anaheim would. Because I'm looking at LA and I'm saying, well, you know, this is a good team. They can get it done. Right? Even if they lose game three, it doesn't matter. Anaheim, on the other hand, I'm like, oh, no, you can't lose game three. You can't. They won it. They did. They won game four as well. And game five. But they couldn't get it done. And that, to me, shocking. Shocking. I really thought they had what it took to make it all the way to Stanley Cup Final. They're good defensively. They have two solid lines up front. Their top six is pretty good. With the additions of David Perron, McGinn, Peary. Hey, they're really good. They probably have the best third line in hockey with Kessler and Silverberg on that line. And yet, despite all that, they weren't able to get the job done. Do the Ducks now fire Bruce Boudreau because he can't get it done? I wouldn't go that far. But I do think his leash is now short. I do. I think if he starts next season the way he started this season, he's not going to make it. He's going to get canned. I think that magic trick worked once. It's not going to work twice. Because now he's got this reputation of not being able to win the big games. Even if it's not on him, the Nashville Predators were the better team on the ice. Pekarina stepped up. When his team needed him the most, he stepped up to the plate and said, hey, I'm not going to let one get by. Kessler scored his goal early in the third as well. So they had 18 minutes to try to put another one by him. He didn't. He stood tall. I don't know how well they'll do in the second round. But the fact that they got past Anaheim in that first round should be a huge confidence booster to this team. They can look at themselves and say, hey, we got this. Doesn't matter. Play the underdog card. Doesn't matter. They can do it. They can do it. They can do it. They're going to take on San Jose. It's going to be a matchup. I'm not going to tell you who I picked, though. I'm not going to tell you. But it's going to be a matchup to watch. And all I'm going to say is don't discredit the Nashville Predators as quick in the second round as I did in the first round. Don't do that. Because big series wins like this, when you win a series like this against a really good team like this, that momentum can carry. Same thing for San Jose, right? Getting past the LA Kings, not easy. Those are important things. Those are important things. That recaps the first round. That is the first round. Once again, thank you guys for listening. It's been a blast. As always, the podcast, follow it on iTunes. Go subscribe, go rate. Tell me how much you love it. Tell me how much you hate it. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at FuzzyChris91. Tweet me all your hate. Tell me how terrible I was in the first round. I was so bad. It's not even funny. My girlfriend's bracket is better than mine. I mean, hers is terrible, but it's still better than mine. That's how bad mine was. As always, the podcast is up at the Fantasy Fix. You can listen to it there. You can check out all the stuff there as well. If you're big into MLB DFS, Monday to Friday, the Double Dong podcast helps you build your lineups. So you should listen to them. It's great. Ryan Noonan, Brock. It's a great podcast. I love it. I listen to it Monday to Friday. Helps me build my lineups. Go check that out. I will see you guys at the end of round two. Good luck in your brackets. Bye-bye.